As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I'm down to dunk.
And I'm down to dunk. I'm down to dunk. This is J-Dub and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lindy Waters, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Kenneth Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to dunk.
Will you say this is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort?
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Mondays, it's my good friend, Michele Barra. Michele, oh, what's up?
Well, we had a game last night.
Yeah.
For weird reasons, I decided not to watch live, and I made a very...
Was it like prime time for you, though? Like, is it like 7 o'clock?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. But, I mean, kids were away for the entire weekend. They politely asked, hey, can we watch something together? And
yeah.
That something together ended up like an hour after the beginning of the game.
So, yeah.
No, I will enjoy that tomorrow.
Yeah. No, that's a good call.
And I did.
Prime time is actually a horrible time for parents, by the way.
Yes.
Like, if you have young kids,
it's the worst.
It's one of the worst times. Yesterday, the Thunder beat the Suns in OKC 124-120 in a game where Shea put up 40 on 24 shots, zero threes. 16 of 19 from the free throw line.
Still not good. Let's not spin it in a good way. I mean, Shea has to take threes. But hey.
Hey, it's just wild.
It is wild.
That he's putting up those kind of numbers without taking a three. So unconventional. He is going to have to take threes, but it's pretty cool that he can go out and do this against Phoenix. Who, I mean, Phoenix was locked in. I'll tell you, from the beginning, that Suns team was locked in. They wanted that game. They wanted to win that game. Booker was incredible. He had 46 himself. Chris Paul was good. He had some timely shots there. And, you know, they have enough, like, wing defenders, like Okoji and Torrey Craig are, like, good wing defenders. Offensively, they don't bring a whole lot. You know, Ish Wainwright's the thickest dude in the league. Like, doesn't make any sense. Like, how he's a basketball
player. I don't understand
player.
That player. Like,
he's not very good. He's just big and physical, honestly. And then they were looking for anything. You know, they gave Landry Shamet had been injured for a while. He's back. Played 20 minutes. They tried Terrence Ross for 15, and he was kind of a microwave scorer, but just an absolute sieve on defense. They tried Damian Lee. They tried Campaign. They got Jacques Landell. Some moments. Known loser.
Is he okay, by the way?
After got hit
he got
the
like
face.
The ball in the back of his head.
It's hilarious. That was Landry Shamet. Through that, it started a fast break. Actually, it's hard to call it a fast break when Dario Saric is leading the break, but started the break. Landell just gets. They obviously had no, they didn't even have eye contact, no communication. Landell's just going toward the paint and just gets the ball, smacked him in the head. And then Saric takes it down the court. No loser, TJ Warren, however, who I ran into in the hallway of the arena, DNP CD for that guy.
That's sad. Is it sad? I don't know. It's
Nah. No, it's fine. I think these are the kind of players that they need to play in order to win in the playoffs, like these tough, gritty defenders around Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. You know, you don't necessarily need TJ Warren out there. I'd kind of rather have Terrence Ross out there. But anyways, big win for the Thunder.
Yeah, it was a big win. And speaking of Phoenix, I mean, they show that with Aiden and KD, they are incredible. I mean, OKC is a good team, and they played them very well.
Yeah.
Thanks to, like, an amazing Devin Booker. A very good version of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But if you think about the rotation in the playoff, I think that the starters of tonight, less Biombo, who is not going to play probably.
Yeah, Biombo's not good.
Plus KD and Ayton, you have six. And then, I mean, it's fine to have probably Payne and one between Shamet and Ross as your, and you see which one works.
Yeah.
Night in and night out. And you have eight players. So that is... that is what you need as a playoff team. Eight guys. And I think the Phoenix has at least eight. Mm-hmm. So it will be interesting. They will be very interesting to watch. If they click, it may be their year.
It could be. They kind of need it to be with the age of a guy like Chris Paul. And then...
yeah. They don't have many... well, you know, when you have KD and Book... you can probably buy yourself another year or two, even if Chris Paul doesn't resign. But this year is the year, because there is nobody who is really, really clicking, except for maybe sometimes the Clippers, maybe sometimes Denver.
So in the West.
The West can be theirs if they make a good run. They can really be the best team in the West. OKC played a very, very good game. I mean, I was really surprised by the grit, the cohesiveness. And it's, I mean, I think I discussed this with John on the last Dream Team show on Saturday, the fact that games like the one in Toronto are very important lessons where you play hard and you need a little bit more, and last night they had that little bit more because Phoenix was rolling. They were down the entire game, much like Brooklyn against Brooklyn. I would say a little bit worse because Phoenix played hard until, I mean, 8 minutes to go, basically 9 minutes to go, when Dignall finally decided to use the secret weapon. I really love this season for so many reasons, but the fact that they are able to learn on the fly and just adjust and just be amazing for stretches, that fourth quarter run and also other parts of the game where they ramp up their defense were just, wow, this is what it will be. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Dort hits that three with 6:47 left in the fourth. That puts them up 102-103. And then the avalanche started, where Josh Giddey gets an alley-oop from Shea, which is really funny. Isaiah Joe hits that three, and that was the moment of the season so far, was when Joe hit that three. I have not heard the arena that loud since Kevin Durant played for the Thunder.
Oh, wow.
I think that Russ's MVP season, the crowds were still pretty good, but not like the 2016 playoff good.
Mm-hmm.
The crowds throughout like the Russ era weren't quite as good, and then definitely weren't what they should have been with the Chris Paul team. And then the crowds just like straight up haven't been good since the rebuild started.
Yeah.
And there's reasons for that. Totally get it. But that was the loudest that I've heard the arena in a really long time. And
you were close to the court. Yeah. I felt different emotions on the court as well.
Oh man, I'll tell you, the way that they were behaving, the Thunder and even the Suns in the first half, it felt like, oh, okay, this game means a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was something. I mean, to watch a team like OKC for the past 2 years, it was almost all like, yeah, it's practice with a little bit of something. I'm exaggerating. I mean, these are professional basketball players that have a mission is to win basketball games and to just play seriously and with all their hearts for 82 games. But it feels different.
Yeah.
When you see like a guy like Devin Booker arguing a call, like not with the, oh, okay, you need to give me this, but with the a mix of rage and fear and like, that is a real game. That is a real game that Booker is afraid to lose.
Yeah.
And calls are important.
Yeah.
And like, it is different. And the excitement after that Joe Tree was insane. Like everyone was just over the roof and they were able to close it out. I mean, you can still lay an egg.
They're only up six with like 5 minutes left at that point. So I mean, 6 points can be erased really fast.
Especially if you play against a guy like Booker.
Yeah.
Who was eating everything. Really everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yanni in the chat says, he talks about the playoff P game. Yeah. I'm taking away the playoffs. Like, yeah, the playoffs is one thing. Like, a crowd can get pumped up for the playoffs. But I'm talking about just like a regular season game. This is just kind of a, like, there's no true like meaning behind beating the Suns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to like talk the crowd up to getting into a playoff game. This game against Phoenix was just like, this is just a game. You know, this is just like a regular season game. A playoff game, like, duh. Like, a crowd is going to show up. They're going to get loud when things are important. But just your run-of-the-mill regular season game, I haven't heard it this loud since, like, the end of that 2016 regular season run. Chris Smith, KD's return was crazy. Sure. Another one where it's like there's, like, external things brought in to like hype everything up. I'm talking like just run of the mill crowd, normal. How are the fans behaving?
Yeah,
you know,
no, this game. And if you look at the game, like from this, let's say looking at the schedule, see, okay, it's a game against Phoenix. You don't expect it to be a game with a ton of rivalry into it.
Yeah, there's not. I mean, you got the Chris Paul element. Sure.
Yeah, a bit, but it's nothing sour with Chris Paul.
Yeah, no. People cheered for him whenever he was announced.
They cheered for Basley, who didn't show any emotion when he heard the cheers. Like, it was just him just robotically looking at the free throw line and whatnot.
Hey, he played. But anyway, I was a little surprised he played.
Yeah, I think that Monty just was desperately trying to find anything.
He was searching. He was searching his bench for somebody.
Yeah, let's see if Baze has it tonight. And when you see, I don't remember who scored on him first. Maybe Isaiah Joe with the layups. That's not this night.
Okay. Yep.
But let's talk about the most important topic of last night, I think, which is the using, or rather, the lack of center minutes in the fourth, which led to which is something that against Biombo and York Landale you have to do.
Yeah,
but I still think that.
Court.
Yeah, OKC without a center or with a shooter can be incredibly dangerous. And Wicks was just,
oh man,
I mean, come on, why? Why is that guy not playing any minutes? I know why. I do know why. We discussed it many times. But when you see that, say, hey, you can't just not playing him. He's very, 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 very good.
Yeah.
And he can play any role you want. Like, do you want me to play center? Okay. Do you want me to play the four? Yes. Do you want me to play the two guard? Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Point guard, not so much. But hey, I can drive to the basket, do a spin move, and hit a shot anyway.
Mm-hmm. The two on-ball steals were so crucial. They were looking for ways to manufacture points at that time. And the fact that he got those two on-ball steals, one that ended up in an and-one, it was really important to that run. I mean, he's a plus eight in his 12 minutes. He put the whole fourth quarter basically safe for like a few seconds. I mean, he was the catalyst. And Shea even said it after the game, like, Wiggs saved us. He said that on TV after the game. And it did feel like the tide just shifted when he came into the game because he could defend at a high level. He was generating points through steals and just playing solid defense. Like, overall, he's a guy that when they switch, and that's what they wanted to do. That's why they went small, so they could switch, because they had kind of blown up a lot of the base coverage. Mm-hmm. With like Dort, and it's not even like this isn't Dort or Shea or J Dub's fault within any of it. It's just Devin Booker is better than any base coverage defense that you're going to throw at him, and so you're going to
especially if you have a size gap.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm convinced more and more that Lu Dort should be handle Chris Paul more often. I know that Chris is a different kind of player,
yeah,
but I feel that if you need as much like similar to what you do with Shea. You need to put size on Booker.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they tried the physicality route with Dort, mm-hmm. and it didn't matter. I mean,
no.
Book was getting anything he wanted throughout the entire game. And when they switched it up at the end, when they were playing switch happy, and basically once he hit mid-range, they doubled.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed everything. That changed. I mean, basically, the Thunder had just been giving him that spot in the mid range over and over again all game, and then they just shut it off there at the end. And it was really smart because I thought he got really comfortable getting to that same spot over and over again. And when they shut it off, he had to dish it to Wainwright in the corner, and with his flat three that didn't go in, if you're the Thunder, whether that goes in or not, you feel really good about that being the result of what you were doing. And the reason they went to Wainwright in the first place was because they went small. And this is just, as a Thunder observer through the years, it is kind of weird to see teams adjusting to the Thunder and it not the other way around. Because for how many years, Michele, did we watch the Thunder head coach adjust to how the other team was playing? Over and over again. It was Scotty Brooks.
And always late.
Always late. It was Scotty Brooks and it was Billy Donovan. Both those guys, and I'm not trying to say they're bad coaches. I don't think either of them are bad coaches. They've both had a ton of success. Right now, the Bulls are a top five defense in the NBA. How are they a top five defense? I have no clue. I think Billy Donovan has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
However, you just didn't see this kind of adjustment being made by our team and then the other team adjusting around them. So I just thought it was interesting. And James Anderson in the chat said, we don't have a choice. We don't have any bigs. They have guys that are big that they could play, certainly, with JRE, with Šarić, with Jay Will. They could have played any one of those three, and they did play all three of them during the game. But in the closing moments of the game, they basically went with all wings.
No, for way more than that. They played, I think, 8 minutes without any center.
Yeah.
I mean, they played Jerry in spots, but Jerry's whatever. So I don't think the talent gap between Wiggins and Šarić or Jay Will is huge. Like, these are players in the same, I would say, tier of players.
Yeah.
They are rotation players.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to think about Giddy, J-Dub, Shea, and Dort, respect to those players, yes, they are in a different tier. But Wiggins is not. Like, there are games where Jay Will is more important than Wiggins. Mm-hmm. There are games where Šarić plays very well and better than what Wiggins does. So I think that it's safe to say that those are players in the same tier.
Yeah.
And Daigneault just decided, hey, whatever Landale and
Bismack
Biyombo are doing to us, it's irrelevant. Let's not play that guy. Let's play J-Dub more,
mm-hmm.
who can be a rebounding machine. Let's see if Giddy can sustain the rebounding duties when he's the de facto center. And I mean, that's what happened. And the guys responded well rebounding wise. They didn't yield too many rebounds. So it's
they it's, won the rebounding something. Battle.
Yeah. 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 And that moment, I mean, even in those minutes, I think that they were pretty okay. They were flying around like crazy. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's not just, hey, we don't have good bigs. It's part of the equation for sure. If you have, and it's part of the equation in the Billy Donovan discussion. I mean, I remember Billy saying, I want to have my five best players on the court.
Yeah.
And Steven Adams is one of them.
Yeah.
Right now, and this is maybe James Henderson's comment, like, we don't have any big that is in the top five. And so it makes sense to just shuffle around.
Yeah,
but you have to do it.
It's Bismack Biyombo and Jacques Landale on the other side. And they did play them a lot until the Thunder forced their hand. Yeah. That's my point. It's just that they were going to play traditional bigs the whole time.
Yeah.
And the Thunder forced their hand.
Yeah. Which is a good thing, which is something that you want your coach to say, okay,
we've seen it too with New Orleans, that they forced New Orleans into taking Jonas Valanciunas off the court.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened every time they played New Orleans. You know, I mean, it's not just the Suns. It's not just this specific game. You know, they have forced big men that are talented off the court. And I just think I just love the way that Mark kind of experiments with stuff and is willing to try just about anything to make it happen.
I think that there are games where he doesn't feel comfortable enough, like against Toronto. They were destroying OKC rebounding wise and said, okay, if I lose the center, if I lose my rim protection, I'm just as good as done. Phoenix is not a team that will put a ton of pressure at the rim, which is very different
especially
from
with
other teams.
Yeah,
and so you feel comfortable saying, okay, let's drift away and do the things differently. Like having to play a jump shooting team compared to a team like OKC, who is dribble drive, dribble drive, dribble drive. That is that leads you to different decisions. So I think that this one, hey, they're just shooting. Let's just put more quick and not as tall bodies against them and see what happens.
Yeah. No, I thought it was really good. I mean, and Mark had gone to Jeremiah for a few minutes. He went to Jang for a few minutes. He went to Trey Mann for a few minutes, all before he went to Wiggins. And honestly, I think this is just how it's going to go. I think they're going to just keep trying everybody. I don't think that necessarily anybody's quote unquote out of the rotation, you know?
Yeah.
And
I think that Wiggs is getting the Kenrich treatment. Well, we know what you are, and you are pretty good. I gave you a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Just be kind with us and don't complain, and we will have a spot for you in the coming years. I think that is part of the equation. It must be, because when he plays, he's just clearly better than so many guys.
Yeah, I would agree. So the Thunder currently sit at 8th in the West.
Wow.
Half a game behind the Golden State Warriors for 7th. A full game behind Dallas for 6th. Let me ask you a question, Mikelle. Let's say the Thunder are in a play-in game tomorrow against Golden State. They would go to Golden State for the game. They would go to San Francisco. Who would be in your 8-man rotation?
Wow. Let's see.
Because I don't think that you play 12 guys in a playing game. I think you maybe play 9 at the most.
Probably not. The starting unit.
They're probably going to start the same guys. J-Will, J-Dub, SGA, Giddy, Dort. Those are your 5. Who off the bench do you trust?
Wiggins, Joe, and probably Šarić.
Okay.
And maybe I will try a few times Lindy Waters.
Yeah.
I think that Lindy plays hard, which is something that I really love.
Yeah.
He's not super duper effective on defense, but he tries.
And he's big.
He can make a few things happening here and there. He is a guy that I think I would try, like Dignall did last night.
Yeah, he played 23 minutes last night.
Yeah, that's too much for a playing game. But suppose that he hits one or two of the first three or four shots, then
Yeah, you throw him out there in the second quarter, and you just see, does Lindy have it tonight? And if he misses his first two threes, you pull him. And you play Isaiah Joe in that spot only. And if he hits his first, if he goes one of two from three, great. Let's
keep it going.
We'll ride with Lindy for a little bit. Yeah, I think so too. I think that's the right approach to this. This is where I get super bummed about Kenrich being out. You know,
And also about the Muscala trade. I'm really bummed. The more I see this, the more I think that with Mike, they would have snagged a game or two more. I'm fully convinced of that.
Even though Sharch is, I mean, Sharch wasn't great last night, but like he's played well in stretches.
I might be on the minority crowd here. I would never ever make that switch, even if it cost me 2 seconds. I just don't think it's worth anything. Just I like the idea of having a big man that can play, that can move the basketball. Just give me shooting.
Yeah.
Which is basically our fundamental disagreement on.
No, I don't disagree. I think Mike was very helpful to this team. I don't disagree about Šarić versus Mike. If I could choose, I would choose Mike.
Yeah.
I would choose Mike.
Mike gives Shea something that he doesn't
have. He's better defensively than Šarić is.
Yeah.
He's a little bit more nimble than Šarić is, which is, you know, kind of whatever.
Yeah, but even if you say that he's a draw defensively, which is probably not, offensively, I just think that OKC really needs what Mike has to do, which is a point of attack option when a pick and roll option, pick and pop option that Shea has. And right now, that option is kind of gone. J. Will is not as quick, so they are trying to use him to space the court in different areas, and credit to him, he's hitting shots. But you can see, I mean, if you look, if you take a look at the way in which OKC is guarded right now, there are three men, that are away from their own assignment, which is the guy who guards Dort, the guy who guards Giddy, and the guy who guards J. Will. And then you see a guy that is guarding J. Double a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. And this is what happens every single time. This is why for Shea is so hard, which is incredible that he's so good at it. With Mike, that doesn't happen. And Shea has maybe an inch more, maybe 2 inches more. And that's enough. I mean, with Dort, teams will likely try him. And if it's one of those nights, you may close out later, like it was last night. I mean, when he is in a good groove, shooting-wise, he's dangerous. When he's not, I mean, he's damaging. So you just take your chances and adapt later.
Yeah. Yeah, I think ultimately they wanted to get some value for Mike because I don't think he was going to come back.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, if they had the impression that, hey, this is the last stint of Mike here and he would welcome a change of scenery, then do it. I'm not mad about the trade.
Yeah. No, I'm not either. And what I don't like is that Mike's not in the rotation anymore in Boston. And, you know, hey, hold on, I've got a 4-year-old.
But hey, you can have Grant Williams trying to make the winning shot on drive with no passing to anybody against Walker Kessler instead of having Mike space in the court. It was a great way to end the basketball game. I mean, it's almost like finishing with a Dort layup when you have all the other guys on the court. What is happening here? Don't you even try to make a pass to Tatum or to like anyone else?
Yeah.
Hauser on the corner. Was it Hauser? I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say this. I think the system that they run in Oklahoma City is fit for so many players. Mm-hmm. And it makes players look way better than they really are. And I think it's a testament to Mark and to Presti and to everybody that has like put this in place. Mm-hmm. Because you look at guys like there were even points where Darius Baisley looked like a good player under the system. You know, last year there was a stretch where Baisley looked like he was going to be a guy for this team. The way that he was playing defensively, the way that they were working him in on offense, you know, the way that Mike Muscala played. I mean, Mike in Boston now, if Boston tried to flip him, you know, in the summer, if he was still on a contract, like, you think they're getting 2 seconds for Mike? Like, there ain't no way.
No.
He's not even in the rotation.
Even Isaiah Joe.
Phil's off in the chat. Isaiah Roby. It makes the system that they have put in place makes guys look so good. And Isaiah Joe is like a perfect summation of it too, because Isaiah Joe was a guy that was with a really good team last year. Mm-hmm. And what do they need? They need shooting. They couldn't find the right spots for him. There's not as many shots to go around. I mean, Isaiah Joe got 7 threes last night. You know, he took 10 shots overall. He gets a chance to touch the basketball. That's the part of it that I think makes it all work, is that these guys
get it. Which is a little bit necessary to take shots, but yes.
But you know what I mean? I mean, this didn't happen.
This is why the
previous era of Thunder, Vete Krejci on Handy Train in the chat. Vete Krejci at times looks like a player. You know, you plug any of these guys, even Isaiah Joe, into the Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant teams, they may not work.
Yeah.
They may not work. Wiggins, I don't know that Wiggins works, because what your job is on offense, stay in the corner. Don't move a muscle, because we don't need you messing up what's going on here, which is Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant occupying the middle of the court, and we have a big down there in the dunker spot. You know,
which ties with the basketball philosophy that we discussed a ton last week. And when we see these things, I kind of remember that this needs certain ingredients.
Yeah.
But also that Daigneault is succeeding even with guys that struggle to make decisions or that are not like elite decision makers. So it's amazing how far he went in terms of just one season, and see the way in which they play. I mean, it's been years since we were reading and hearing all the analysts, media, whatever, saying how bad it was, you know, you see in terms of playing style, that it was unsustainable.
Yeah.
And now you see this beautiful brand of basketball, which looks sustainable. And it looks that the result is higher than the sum of the parts. Like,
without a doubt.
Which is what we are saying. Like, take Baisley. Baisley contributes to this team more than the value of Darius Baisley. I mean, same with other guys like Wiggins. I don't know how much Wiggins play in Phoenix, for example.
Yeah.
For me, he should be better than many players in that roster.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe because my perception of Wiggins is skewed by how OKC uses him. And the second he doesn't have the freedom to just create a little bit with the basketball, just move around, take a trip to the basket instead of taking just an open three, who knows who that player is? And so, I mean, it's a huge credit to this team and the position that they have in the standing right now. I think it's a little bit of a reflection of what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at just the net rating, and I know you discussed it with Alex, I think it's insane.
They're 10th in net rating, and if you filter out, you know, January 1st through now, I mean, they're a lot better than that, which is just crazy. It's just absolutely insane that this team is where they are. I mean, they're fifth in net rating since January 1st.
And they don't have a top five record since January. They didn't struck luck in this stretch from January the 1st. I don't think that they have like a crazy record. If you have the fifth best net rating, you should have like something like 65-70% of wins.
Yeah. They're 20. They have the ninth best record. They're 20 and 15.
Yeah, which January is a good 1st. Record, but it's not a super duper great record, which is, I mean, to me, it signals that this team is good.
Yeah.
But they are not super duper lucky. Something may be related to their, they miss some parts, and so they are more prone to have opponents just having good three-point shooting nights and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just not having luck, which happens. I mean, if you look at other teams like Miami, they have a negative net rating and they have four wins more than OKC.
Yeah. They played a ton of close games.
Exactly.
Miami has.
And we know that. And this is one of the reasons why OKC didn't stick with the Chris Paul core. That team was not as good as their record.
No.
They had a great closer.
Yeah.
They had good veterans and they won a lot of close game.
Yeah.
This is not what is happening right now.
No. No. This is a team like building towards something. And mm-hmm. you can feel it and you can see it. And yesterday felt like a moment with this team and this franchise and the direction they're moving.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
So let's talk about the upcoming road trip and the rest of the way. And who they're going to play. So they play the Clippers twice, Tuesday and Thursday. Big games for for both teams, because they're not, the separation between the two is not much. Like this, mm-hmm. if the Thunder could somehow sweep the season series, which I don't think is going to happen.
Oh, wow.
If they somehow did, this could impact the standings for both, and the Thunder pick swap might actually come into play. Now, that's a pipe dream. They play back-to-back, still in L.A., against Los Angeles, so no travel. And so I'm interested to see what Shea's status is going to be for that game. I would guess he doesn't play, but who knows? I don't know. Then they play Sunday at Portland. So in those four games, what is your expected? What's the expected outcome? Because then things kind of soften up a bit. They get Charlotte and Detroit at home, the Pacers on the road, and they finish with a pretty difficult schedule, depending on what happens with rest, with Phoenix, Golden State, Utah, Memphis. My guess is that there's teams that don't rest. I'd be surprised if Golden State rested. And Golden State plays really, really well in their home arena. But this four-game road trip, what's your expectation?
I think it's a great result if they do, if they just do 2-2.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great result. I think that's an average outcome. I think Portland sucks.
No, it's yeah. I mean,
and then
it's tough.
I think they can get one of the three LA games.
Yeah, I think that is a good result. Maybe not.
It's a good result. I think it's a good result. I think it's an average result. I don't think it's a great result.
I agree. A great result would be winning two games in LA and just winning important.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got
that would be.
Yeah, if you got one of the Clippers, if you split with the Clippers, beat the Lakers, beat the Blazers, if you can do that,
the win against the Lakers is the most important, because you actually clinch the season series against them.
And you knock them down some as well.
Yeah.
If they do that, they're going to challenge for the six.
Oh, yeah. If they go 3-1, then...
If they go 3-1, they're challenging for the six. If they go 2-2, they still could challenge for six, but it's going to be harder. I mean, every game matters down the stretch.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very, very, very interesting, next four games, honestly. I mean, tell me what their record is after these four, and I can tell you a whole lot more about where they're going to be. I think I would honestly be floored if they didn't make the play-in at this point.
I think it's safe. I mean, it's a reasonable expectation that they might miss, but it's reasonable to say that they will go 5-6 the rest of the way and just close at 40-42.
If they close at 40-42, I think they're in the play-in.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Me too.
I think they're in the play-in.
And winning five is not easy. It means that you have to either be... I mean, you have to win at least one in the road trip, and then you need to win basically all your home games and probably another game against either Indiana or Utah.
Yeah.
Which is not easy. I mean, I think I fully expect Memphis not to play the last game of the season, because it's probably a meaningless game for them.
Yeah, it probably it depends on what happens with them in Sacramento between now and then.
Yeah,
because right now they're tied.
Yeah,
and if you're, I don't know, if you were Memphis, you'd probably rather play somebody coming out of the playing tournament. Well, I guess maybe not. I mean, if it's Golden State, I don't think that you're circling Golden State. I think you'd rather play Dallas. But it'll be a meaningful game for Oklahoma City no matter what. I believe that.
Yeah.
Just because one game, it shifts everything. So, but honestly, this Thunder team is the most stable of the Minnesota, Lakers, Utah, Pelicans bunch. And it's because of Shea. Shea, he's the best player of any of those teams.
AD may have something to say about that.
No.
On a single game, he might be.
Disagree.
But yeah.
Completely disagree. I think...
We'll see. I hope I'm wrong.
You are wrong.
Okay.
He's a lot better.
On a single game.
Give me Shea.
Sure.
Give me Shea.
I didn't say he's for sure better than Shea. I said that Anthony Davis might have a great game. It might be better than Shea that night.
Even if he plays.
If he plays, sure. Come on, you know what I want to say. I mean, you can if
say
you get
you
the
say.
Anthony Davis kind of night where he swats shots left and right and hits shots, it's for OKC is trouble. Because, I mean, playing against a good shot blocker is what OKC struggle against the most.
Yeah.
That is my point.
Yeah.
And I know that I have a valid point. I may be wrong, but it's an okay point to make.
Yeah. I don't value the Lakers that much. I just don't think they're very good. I think the Thunder are better.
Yeah, sure. No, Minnesota has a very difficult schedule as well.
Very difficult. And they're missing their most important player.
Yeah.
And we don't know when Towns is coming back. I've got a 4-year-old trying to move my seat. Okay. Did you watch any of Arkansas, Kansas, by the way?
No, I did not. I just watched the box score afterwards, and it was uninspiring, so I didn't feel the urge to watch it. But if it is something that I need to watch, I will do tomorrow morning.
It was a really fun game. It's not a great game for the draft prospects in it, because it was essentially just Anthony Black guarding Grady Dick and him canceling him out on offense, and then Anthony Black not being able to get anything going for himself.
Hey, which is the perfect encapsulation of my thinking about Anthony Black, which is, hey, he might be a great player, but if I need something on offense, I may need to look otherwise.
Yeah, I mean,
elsewhere.
It's a great argument for that, for sure. Also,
it's also an argument against Grady Dick, I think.
I mean, he canceled him out.
Yeah.
For the most part. He only took 9 shots, Grady Dick.
Yeah.
He was just all over him. And this could be a Kansas problem, because they don't have Bill Self right now. But he's just not even moving around that much. He just kind of stays on the right wing and just kind of hopes the ball gets to him. And as Anthony Black just like shuts down that part of the court, because he's 6'7" and has long arms, you know, it was just kind of tough. A really tough watch. If you're tuning in for the draft prospects, Nick Smith was horrible. Anthony Black was basically just a designated defender, and Grady Dick couldn't get shots off. It just wasn't. It wasn't a great game for that. However, it was an awesome game just for theatrics. It was so much fun.
I want to see Jairus Walker.
Jairus Walker is, of anybody that's played in the tournament, that's going to be picked in the top 10, top 15, he was the most impressive. He was just a beast, an absolute beast in the second half for Houston in their last game. Really, really good player. I'm single dadding it today, if you can't tell. If you're not watching on YouTube, you should subscribe on YouTube, because I've got a 4-year-old climbing on my back during the podcast. And it is just a joy. This is a joy of parenting right here. And parenting
I can see that.
When my wife has a doctor's appointment. Any other draft thoughts? Any quick draft thoughts that you have? Hey, don't climb on my shoulders.
I think that the Brandon Miller story will be crucial in the coming weeks. He's awesome. And
so he is the best draft prospect. Hey, stop pulling my hat. He is the best draft prospect that's played. Like he is definitely head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah. And it's going to be very interesting. There are new evidence, new stuff I tried to read. I'm not like a legal person, so I don't know Italian's law. I don't know US laws. But that discussion and which team is actually going to try and pick him, it's going to be extremely interesting. And it will shape a lot in the draft, because he is in place for two, which is something that was not clear up until a couple of weeks ago. And it seems that evaluators are kind of getting slowly back behind Brandon Miller. And we'll see. That is something that is way out of OKC's range. But hey, Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe it's the Clippers pick that gets them there. All right, I got to go before he starts to press every button on my board. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. Hope you guys have an awesome, awesome day, and we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday. You stinker. You are a stinker. Oh, my word.
Well, he likes your hat.
Yeah, he does. He's going to get tickled for 10 minutes after this. All right,
okay,
man.
I'll let you go tickle him.
Okay, then. All right. See ya.
Bye, guys.